Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. I've been in touch this morning with my guys from Caliber Roofing. They're heading to Beaumont to help tarp and help immediate repair work that y'all might need for your roofs. So we'll Caliber Roofing. I'll get you the phone number and the website too. You may need them. You know what? Let me give it to you now so that you can put it in your phone right now. For those of you that are out there in the Beaumont, anywhere from Beaumont to Lake Charles, they'll be able to get over there as soon as possible, you know, and help you out and hook a brother up. So Caliber Roofing, their number is right here. It is, put this in your phone, 713-823-9355. 713-823-9355. Put it in your phone because you don't know if you're going to have electricity for your, or you're going to have Wi-Fi for 975roof.com. You may need it right now. Go to 975roof.com right now and give them a call and tell them to get over to your place. And if you've got any kind of issues with your roof, they're going to be heading over to Beaumont now. And these guys are great. Caliber Roofing, 713-823-9355. So there's a little help for you over there in the Beaumont, Winnie, Beaumont, Port Arthur, whatever it is, wherever you're at. Those guys are going to have trucks all over the place, and they're going to be helping you tarp your roof. They can also remove trees that you might trap your vehicle down, trees that fall. They can do that as well. So they're going to be out there. Hopefully you put down their number and you use them, because chances are you might need them. 713-823-9355. 905 on ESPN, 97.5 on a morning. We're thinking about you, Beaumont, out there. We're thinking about you. Hate that this is happening to you. We got here, there's like a 60% chance of rain tomorrow. That's it. Which means in this area, probably 60% of the people will catch rain. The Northwest, I guess, is supposed to be clear up there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're just going to get some wind. We may not get rain here in the Houston area, depending on where you are.
Yeah.
In Houston, but yeah, western part of in the Katy area, I don't, you know, standard rain chances like as always. So moved east, so we'll see what happens. They still played the doubleheader just to be safe. That's why they had the doubleheader yesterday.
And they moved today's game to Anaheim as part of a doubleheader.
Yep.
So, well, and it looks like the A's are going to be able to get in here. I would imagine they were making contingency plans of the A's not being here this weekend, but they can be now. It looks like. I imagine they're watching it closely. And they're already playing 7 of the 10 games against the A's in Oakland. Mm-hmm. You don't want to move those games to Oakland, too.
No.
You don't want all 10 games in Oakland.
No.
So, hopefully, and again, it doesn't look like we're going to catch it here all that badly. But I'm sure we're going to be sending help to Beaumont and the area. I'm sure Tiny's going to have his Cajun Navy out there. I'm sure... that's what they do. Oh yeah, Tiny does. That's what he does.
Oh, so he's directly involved with them?
Yeah, yeah. You know, he's big up there. Now there's other guys that are higher, but Tiny is he loves that and he goes all over and helps out. So Tiny, give a hand to those people over there in Beaumont, our neighbors over there in Beaumont. Rockets in action today, this afternoon, 5:30. Dell and I are going to watch it probably at my house.
Nice.
Make some grilled cheese sandwiches.
It's not going to happen.
With a nice tomato jam, Dale?
I'm not hanging out with John. It'd be like one of the last things I would ever think of doing.
What are you talking about?
I just told you. What do you mean, what am I talking about? I told you.
Me and you hang out all the time.
No, we don't.
Yeah.
I don't, look, do you? No, it's not true. I mean, I don't mind lying for the right reasons.
Me and you, how often do we go?
Never.
We just sit?
Never.
You know, sometimes we just sit in the park.
That's not
okay. True. Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's cool, Dale. That I would not be upset about that.
Mm-hmm.
I would.
We get some we get some sodas and we sit in the park.
I don't drink sodas.
We don't drink
soda, so that's
people
a lie.
Pass by. You know, Dell makes some snide comments every once in a while.
Yeah, no, obviously. But that's kind of what makes it fun.
I wouldn't ever be anywhere with you that I didn't have to be.
I don't believe that.
That's true. It's true.
No, I can't believe that.
No, let's go through our history.
Right.
When have I ever been someplace that wasn't a station event?
Now
with him?
You're doing that just to keep your streak alive.
No, but
do you want me to tell you one?
Go ahead.
Maggiano's.
Yeah, after I got fired.
Right.
Oh, he had to.
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
We went to lunch together afterwards.
What would it be like to, like, sorry, John, I'm not going to do this. What would it be like for me to not to refuse that particular
invite?
Well,
if you'd like me to try to get your job back, I'd like for you to come have a lunch with
so
me.
So you name the one time.
That's it.
And then the other.
Dinner? Tell me it was a dinner.
It was a lunch. But it's always
yeah. We had lunch
related.
Together. We just
almost so had, much more brunch, serious. If
we
it's
had
a dinner.
Brunch. We had some maybe. I forget. Did we have any mimosas?
No,
we didn't.
I don't.
Did
drink.
We have mimosas?
The other time was at the deck with Raheel, but we were planning the 97.5 comeback on this for this. Well, this show doesn't exist anymore. But John Raheel with Dell. Raheel,
and you were forced to go there too.
Yeah, that was another thing we did because of show stuff, but never non-station related.
We had, all the time, mimosas.
That's a lie. You don't even
sit
drink
in the park.
What
I'm
do you drink
you,
mimosas? What do you drink mimosas? You drink orange juice and champagne all the time.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Everybody does.
Why would you make that up? Use something more realistic. You don't drink mimosas. Why would you use that particular drink?
Because I thought of brunch.
It wasn't brunch though.
It kind of was.
It was lunch.
It was a little bit. We picked off each other's plates.
That's not true. You know what I generally think about?
We picked off each other's
for plate. Brunch, heavy Italian food for brunch.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you pasta, you gave me half of your lasagna.
Why would I do that?
I gave you half of my chicken salt and boca.
Sounds nothing like me.
We shared.
We did not.
Yeah.
I made you go in for the 2 for $20. I remember that, though.
Hey,
you get 2 portions for $20. You want to do that, Dell? I was like, I guess so, John.
Yeah, you took it home?
Yeah, I had it for lunch the next day.
And then we finished it at your place.
No, we didn't. Why? Now it's departed from a simple lunch to like a relationship.
Yeah.
We did it at your place, Dell.
No, we didn't do anything
finished
at my
it.
Place.
We finished the lasagna over at your place. And then,
anything.
Yeah. We delved into the
Don't use my name as a pun, by the way. Don't do that. Now... Your lies are terrible, by the way.
We delved.
Don't use my name as a pun in this scenario.
Yes.
Terrible.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well,
I will not be watching the game with John. You guys can tweet at John. I'm sure you can watch virtually with him. He'll be there watching the game. You guys can tweet.
No,
hey, John.
You can come watch at the bar that I'm at.
Oh, you're going to be at a bar?
Uh-huh.
Where are you going to be at?
I don't know yet. I don't know which bar.
You have a couple that you're thinking about right now?
By the way, no, you're fired. You want to go to lunch? No, I didn't fire him, actually. No, that was... What's his name?
Dave Tepper.
Oh, Dave Tepper. Dave Tepper fired him. And so, no, that wasn't me. I stood up for my boy, okay? My best friend, Dale.
We're not friends.
Yeah.
I wish you would just... Enough you could say I stood up for him. You don't have to lie about being friends.
We're best friends.
We're not.
Besties.
You don't know anything.
Oh.
I don't know anything about you.
When you share lasagnas together, that makes you best friends.
I didn't share lasagna with you. I wouldn't share lasagna with a woman I'm with. I'm like, get your own. Why would I share with you?
Spaghetti, like Lady and the Tramp.
No, I don't eat spaghetti around
That's
people.
That's why the lady is a tramp.
No, not that one. Lady and the Tramp.
John, you don't have to cloud you doing something nice. The rare times you do something nice with, oh, by the way, we shared spaghetti together. What? No, we didn't. Now you make the whole story sound fake.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I know. You had a good thing going there until you dropped the spaghetti bomb on him. And then we had both on both ends, and then we went to the middle.
Then we finished off the lasagna at
Dell's
place.
Would never go to the middle with you.
No.
We were sharing. Yeah. Yeah, that happened. So, 713-780-3776. I want to talk about CBD. I was my mechanic, I went to take the car over there, and not my car, my wife's. Mine's fine. Expedition, my Chastang 4 is fine. Her car, because the mirror, Frankie, broke. Anyway, he was like,
minus $400.
I went into an American Shaman, and I saw we have like these pictures of you. There are pictures of you in there and talking about you taking it. And I said, yeah, I use it. And as a matter of fact, I used it this morning. I said, you take it in the morning, you take it at night. He goes, is it addictive? I said, no, it's not addictive. It's not. I said, you feel kind of good. If you want to know the truth, the first time I took it, I was like, wow, this is cool, man. This is cool. And here's the deal is you'll feel more relaxed. You will feel your joints will help you. Will thank you for it. I don't know if you've got any, I've got a hip problem and I take it and I do feel better. If you have inflammation, it helps this as well. There's all kinds of stuff for pets too. If you've got a hyperactive pet, you want to give them a little CBD oil? Well, American Shaman has that covered too. But when you go there, they are unbelievably knowledgeable. Yeah, he said, man, they explained it all and what you're looking for. And he needed some for anxiety. And I was like, well, here's the deal is get on over there and get it because it's cool. It's great. And you can too. CBD American Shaman. There's like 30 locations from here to Beaumont, from Galveston to Conroe. ShopCBDTX.com. ShopCBDTX.com. It's cool. You'll like it. ShopCBDTX.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I'm in love with the cocoa. I'm in love with the cocoa. I got it for the Lolo. I'm in love with the cocoa.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
That is funny. 916 ESPN. Tell the story, though.
So if you missed it last night because you decided you didn't want to watch anymore as the Clippers were running the Mavericks out of the gym, Marcus Morris steps on Luka's injured left ankle in what appears to be a definite attempt to aggravate it even more. Well, he looks like he did it on purpose. And, of course, Mark, you have to come out and say, guys, I'm not that player. Marcus Morris tweeted out last night, I play this game with a level of respect for myself and other players. To think I would try to injure somebody is crazy to me. 10 years going against the best, I stand on morals and hard work. I compete and leave it out there every game. And because everyone has receipts, Twitter just responded with all the times Morris has done something dirty. Like there's one clip of him initially trying to elbow Justin Anderson, and then he bounces the ball directly off of his head because he's frustrated with them. It's just a long line of, this you, Marcus Morris? This you? Is this you? Is this you? Of doing dirty stuff. So, hey, man, you can't tweet that when you know people have receipts. Maybe he forgot all the dirty stuff he did. But that looked intentional.
It was intentional.
You can't. That step he took to get to Luka's ankle was clearly not natural.
No. Do you think because guys have been fined or suspended for stepping up underneath a guy, you know that when Kawhi went up, who was it stepped underneath him?
What's his name? Like
the Warriors.
Bruce Bowen?
No.
Oh, Kawhi. Yeah, they were on the same team.
I know.
Who was it?
27 big Euro guy. I forgot his name though.
Yeah. Anyway, he got fined? Didn't he?
I believe so.
That looks like a finable offense. What he did.
It looks like if it's you believe it's intentional, you miss a game.
You can miss a game for that. Yeah. Yeah. I can certainly see that happening.
And it's been a chippy series throughout, whether it be the guys on the bench talking or even just the Porzingis ejection. The Clippers, I don't know the word I would use, but they got some kind of clownish guys on their team. Whether it be guys openly laughing when a guy shoots a jumper and he misses. Like Patrick Beverley, I think, in Montrezl Harrell late in that game, where I think Michael K. Gilchrist, who doesn't have a particularly appealing looking shot, misses one and they just all fall out laughing like it's almost the funniest thing they've ever seen. I mean, they're a bunch of agitators on that side.
Montrez, you know, he played well for the Rockets, but they just didn't like him. I think his personality really rubbed Kevin McHale the wrong way and some of the people with the Rockets. Oh, wait a minute. Was Kevin McHale still there when Montrez was there? He was, right? When he first got here?
D'Antonio was there.
The trade for – he was traded in that offseason when they brought in Chris Paul. D'Antonio was there. So –
And yeah, but Montrez was there before then, wasn't he?
Zaza Pachulia is the guy who injured Kawhi. I think so. Montrez was there for multiple years.
Yeah, 2015, 2016.
I'll tell you this. Was it a mistake getting rid of Montrezl?
Yes.
Yep.
I don't, like I said, I think it's a personality issue more than a basketball issue. And, of course, Daryl doesn't hang on to draft picks. I mean, if you make it 2 years, it's a miracle if you're a Daryl Morey draft pick. And yes, Kevin McHale was there his rookie season. But Harrell was a guy who showed early. One of the reasons they drafted him is because he led college basketball on dunks. I want to say two straight years, or maybe it was during his span in college. Nobody had more dunks. He was a finisher. And Montrezl Harrell is, I mean, I don't know. Personality-wise, I think is a big issue. But the player, man, you would love to have a guy like Trez on this team. Now, he can't step out. That's a problem. He can't step out and drop threes, but that's not his game. But so he doesn't fit from that standpoint. But the ability as an undersized player to rebound and finish and things like that, I would think his efficiency numbers, the reason Daryl liked him coming out was his efficiency numbers. But maybe Daryl has just said, you know what, I'm completely all in. Completely all in with three-pointers. And maybe that was something that wasn't there. Because, I mean, they're trying to get to 50-plus a game. Do or die, 50-plus three-pointers. I don't know that that's I don't know that you want anybody like Montrezl Harrell on a team like that. But I think the problem is you need to have guys with that kind of skill set.
Well, the Clippers said you don't get Chris Paul without Montrezl. Are you making the trade or not? Because he was part of the trade.
No, you had to have Chris Paul.
Yeah.
As much as you want Montrezl, he was part of that trade. So.
Yeah, if that's what it came down to, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, you had to do it. You had to do it. But Montrezl's turned into a player. You could use him right now.
Yeah, he hasn't been great, particularly in this series. He was good last night, but and the Mavericks have not, they kind of made him, because of the way the Mavericks play offense. He hasn't been as impactful, and he's not a really good defensive player, so he's kind of been a liability. But he was good last night, 19-11, 23 minutes. Well, everyone for the Clippers was good last night, 154 they put up on the Mavs. And you could kind of feel like, even going into the game, I wasn't excited about it because I felt like Game 4 was like the Mavs' last best shot, particularly when I heard Porzingis was done, or at least not playing. It felt like you make it a long series, and maybe you hope to get Porzingis back from Game 6, and then you take it to a Game 7. But I felt like Game 5 was going the Clippers' way, no matter what.
Did you guys see? Did you guys see what was what Paul George said? Paul George, after the big game yesterday, he came out and said, "You know, I've been dealing with a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression. It's been a real problem for me." And he said that he had a talk with, that his teammates were trying to help get him out of it. He had a talk with a team psychiatrist that really lifted a weight off his shoulders, and he played really well yesterday.
But
really,
how
really
much
well.
Of that was because he was playing poorly?
Well, he said he positioned it as, I'm playing poorly because of, or, you know, you always wonder.
Yeah.
But he said that's not what he said, I've just felt a lot of anxiety and stress in the bubble. I've always underestimated mental health. And it got me to thinking, you know, I've been feeling, like a lot of people have felt, you can go do a lot of things. It's not like we're stuck in a house, but you still feel like you're under the thumb of the pandemic in a lot of ways. And at least for a lot of people. And it really starts to take a toll. If you have kids at your house nonstop, that definitely takes a toll. Maybe if you're in a relationship with somebody that you're not all in with, that really, really takes a toll. The stuff that was fun, you know, hey, this is just fun and family and this, and oh, me and my boyfriend are doing more things than we ever have. We're bike riding. That stuff's over. That's over. That's not, for a lot of people, it's really setting in that it's not fun at all. I know I'm talking to a lot of people right now who say, man, I am just, it is way different than it was in March and April and maybe even into May. And it's a way different thing. And I think for the athletes, they're in a bubble, which looks like it, man, that'd be cool. You hang out and you, you know, you're playing ball and you're getting back to the basics and it's like AAU all over again and yada, yada. But they're dealing with the same stuff. They're in a bubble. They literally, they have more restrictions. They have way more restrictions than any of us have. I would imagine that is getting to some players. They've been in there for a while now. They will continue to be. And their restrictions are very stringent relative to what we have.
Now, once the first round is completely over, they will have the opportunity to bring family in. So that'll change, that'll change
for them. I think that'll help for a lot of
guys. They'll get this, they'll get to bring
or, you know,
or significant personal relationships.
Right.
They can bring those in
Instagram
there
models.
As long as there's proof that they knew each other before. And
Look how long I was following her.
It has to be approved Instagram models.
Has to be more than that, John. Like we've given the perfect example. Tyler Hero got that set up before. Even before he knew what the rules were going to be.
And they had pictures of each, and they were holding hands and stuff.
So if Katya wants to join him in the bubble, she can. And Tyler Hero, the first Heat rookie, I think, since Dwayne Wade to go for 15-plus in every playoff game, his first four playoff games. So he's not only winning off the court, on the court as well. But more off the court. I'm giving him more credit for the off the court.
He is heroic. There's no question. He was aptly named.
Yeah.
Once you nail that, yep.
I mean, nailing that is aggressive. I would have maybe said secured or started a relationship.
No, you nail it down.
You said that.
Yeah. Yeah, once you nail
it. I'd rather Spencer wants to talk contracts. Let's do that.
On the other side.
Oh.
Okay. 925 ESPN 97.5. Right now, from here to wherever, you're going to have insurance claims, okay? Because here comes the storm. Here comes Laura. And you're going to have roof issues. You're going to have structural damage. You're going to have flooding. You're going to have all kinds of issues. And the insurance company is not going to want to pay you. This has happened. This happens all the time. It's what happens. And there's nothing that you can do about it. Oh, wait. Yes, there is. The MMA lawyers. That's right. The MMA lawyers. They are the large loss attorneys. And here's the deal. They will deal if that insurance company is acting in bad faith, you might be getting up to three times what that claim is because can't do that, insurance company. And here's the deal. You don't have to pay a dime out of pocket to the MMA lawyers. You can get a free consultation and you don't pay them anything until you get your recovery settlement. That's right. They don't take a dime. So you've got lawyers on your side. You've got lawyers on retainer right now. So take this down. LargeLossAttorneys.com. LargeLossAttorneys.com. You're going to need them in the future if you have dealings with insurance company. LargeLossAttorneys.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Wow, look at this run. We just heard who, Troy Smith on there? This run of Heisman Trophy winners we were just talking about.
Yeah.
It's about 50-50 whether or not you're going to make it in the league. Charlie Ward, 92, Charlie Ward, Gino Toretta, Rashan Salaam, Eddie George, he made it and he did well. Danny Werfel did well. Charles Woodson did well. Ricky Williams was okay. Ron Dane, Chris Winkie, Eric Crouch, Carson Palmer, Jason White, Matt Leiner, Troy Smith, Tim Tebow. How about that run of not doing anything? Sam Bradford.
Pretty good run of not doing anything, I'd say.
Sam Bradford. Mark Ingram has had an okay career. Cam Newton's been good. Robert Griffin III, nada. Johnny Manziel, nada. Jameis Winston's already got him a $1 million player. Marcus Mariota, already a backup. Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, Kyler, and Joe Burrow. Will Baker Mayfield be a player? Out of the guys I just mentioned,
I think be a player. I think he'll be a starting quarterback for a minimum of 6 years in the league.
You think?
I can't guarantee anything. Now all of a sudden you go back to system quarterback. Wasn't. You go back to system quarterback now. Now you know everyone thought that had been answered. You can't say system quarterback anymore. Then Dwayne Haskins has been he was a one and done with the 50 touchdown. I mean, that's incredible, but he needs to play well. Baker Mayfield, man, Baker needs to start playing well, because then all of a sudden the question is going to be, wait a minute. Remember how we stopped saying it was a system? Maybe this is the system. Maybe we have to start looking at it unless you have something very special. Like, what was special about Baker? Wasn't arm talent, wasn't size, wasn't athleticism and mobility. You know, he's accurate. I mean, he has the things you like. He's accurate and delivers a ball on time. But you know, the difference is Kyler Murray has freaky athletic ability and talent. Lamar Jackson has freaky athletic ability, and he wasn't part of a system. And he did a lot more pro-style stuff, so it wasn't the Oklahoma system. I think you're going to start seeing that argument pop up again about systems again. I think we may see it if Baker doesn't do something this year.
Of those, who's had the best career? Cam Newton, Derrick Henry, Ricky Williams, Charles Woodson, Eddie George, Carson Palmer.
Wow. Eddie George. Give them to me again. It can't be Carson.
Eddie George, Charles Woodson, Ricky Williams.
Oh, no, Charles Woodson.
Charles Woodson.
Yeah. Woody is one of the great defense players of all time.
Yeah.
I think.
Ricky Williams, Carson Palmer, Cam Newton.
I mean, Eddie George went for 10K in only 9 seasons.
That's pretty impressive, too. Yeah. He was a grinder, too. He got his yards the hard way. There was no one.
Yeah, that yards per carry ain't great. But different times. But yeah, 10K, just over 10K in about 9 years of playing.
I mean, it's not, I don't even know if it's 50-50. You keep going further back. Desmond Howard, Ty Detmer, Andre Ware, Barry Sanders, obviously. Tim Brown, obviously. Vinny Testaverde, obviously. Bo Jackson, obviously.
I think it gets worse as we get closer to our time.
Yes. Yeah. Much worse. Yeah, because there's a lot of these guys had really great careers. Herschel Walker.
And you see the difference is you see more non-quarterbacks.
Running backs.
Which is easier to be a player as opposed to the quarterback position.
Right. No, now it's all quarterbacks. Then it was, look at this. There's a run of running backs. Johnny Rogers, John Cappelletti, Archie Griffin, Tony Dorsett, Earl Campbell, Billy Sims.
Now do wide receivers.
Charles White, George Rogers, Marcus Allen, Herschel Walker. I mean, it's just not. It's Mike Rozier, Doug Flutie, Bo Jackson.
And even though you mentioned wide receivers, all the wide receivers that I can think of were special team players too. Like Tim Brown returned kicks. Desmond Howard returned kicks. Wasn't the last pure wide receiver.
You're not going to find him because they don't.
Well, Tim Brown was a pure wide receiver.
No, but he returned kicks.
He returned kicks too. But
no, what I'm saying is there's an element
you have to have. You have to get a kicker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, a kicker meaning you have to have something extra.
Charles Woodson probably doesn't win his Heisman unless he was a special team wide receiver as well. There's something extra. So unless you're a quarterback today, I think only quarterbacks are winning this award from now until there's a revolt. But we'll see when that happens.
Yep. Well, the last non-quarterback
was Derrick Henry, but he was like 2,000-plus yards, right?
Right.
On the number one team in the country.
Yeah, Tim Brown, the year that he won the Heisman, had 3 punt returns for touchdowns.
And Desmond Howard had his return against Ohio State.
And then shot the Heisman post.
So you got to have extra if you're non-quarterback.
Which sucks because you're in a passing league. That doesn't make you the best player just because you're a quarterback in a high-flying offense. It takes advantage of mismatches because you have more athletic wide receivers than cornerbacks played. It would be great if they would start to look at other factors other than just stats. Like, put stats in context. Okay, you play in this offense, you're supposed to have 38 touchdowns. Like, you're not getting bonus points for being in a 38-touchdown offense or a 41-touchdown. That's great. Let's get Spencer in here. He wanted to talk about Astros contracts. What's up, Spencer? How you doing?
Hey, guys. So I heard the tail end of y'all were talking about Correa's contract, experience contract, and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I was looking at all this stuff last night. I mean, I don't envy the players or the owners going into the free agent, you know, offseason, because it's such a dumpster fire for 2020. It's so hard. It's going to be so difficult for the teams to evaluate. All right, like Springer's batting under 200. Does that mean he doesn't know how to hit anymore, or is it just a weird 2020? You know, it's very bizarre. You know, but looking at the Astros specifically, you know, I think the development of Kyle Tucker is a godsend because, you know, at this point you can slot him into one of the outfield spots for next year. And so looking at next year's roster, you've got Altuve, Correa, Bregman, Tucker, and Yordan. Mm-hmm. It's 5-year starting nine, assuming Yordan comes back healthy. And so, to me, that leaves two outfield spots and first base. I think Yuli is one of the most underrated players in baseball. I think he's just a pure hitter, and he kind of reminds me of like a Moises Alou, the kind of guy who looks like he's just going to keep hitting and hitting and hitting. You know, Bagwell talks about how he's like 60 years old. I mean, he just seems like a guy who's just going to keep hitting and keep hitting. To me, if they're going to do something during the season now, he would be my number one priority because I love Michael Brantley. I think he's a fantastic hitter, but he's had an injury history in his career. He might be hitting that age where he doesn't hit that much anymore. And then I love George Springer to death. He's one of my favorite Astros ever, and he's one of the greatest postseason hitters of his generation or any other. But he's also getting into his 30s, and he doesn't have a history of staying healthy. And I'm not talking about getting drilled in the elbow. I mean, just if you look at his year by year, he seems to always get healthy, and it would make me nervous as a cat to extend him to a long, long contract with a lot of dollars, because I'm afraid you're going to be looking up. And not that it's made as absurd as Pujols, but I'm afraid you're going to be looking up at a 36-year-old George Springer who's hurt and not very effective making $35 million. And so I love Springer. I don't know what his demands are. I know John has said that they thought they would get something done in the spring. So I really don't know what the demands are. But I'm not going to kill him if they let Springer walk. And, you know, one of the weird things about this offseason and kind of going forward is there's no way to predict what sort of an effect, you know, trash can gate is going to have on these players. You know, if you're a GM and you're looking at Springer, you're like, how much of it was trash can? And then taking it another step, how welcome are these guys going to be in the clubhouse? You know, it's impossible to know how hated the Astros really are around Major League Baseball because the people who bitch the most are going to get the most attention. And so, you know, so it's impossible to know if everybody hates them as much as, like, Bellinger, or if most of the players are like, whatever, we cheat too, I don't care. So is this a Astros if they let Springer walk? And so
yeah. You're breaking up. But Marwin was welcome. And Marwin was a big beneficiary. And the Twins.
Marwin was maybe the biggest beneficiary.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think anyone knew that until the guy who went through all the games and went through every single noise at all, yeah, and what the
but even
was.
Still, he was part of it, and he became a free agent. And oh, we love Marwin here, but guess what? There's something to this. Marwin hasn't been hitting the same since he left here. Since the
he didn't hit the same before then.
No, and so this to me is like the Sean Merriman deal. Is what kind of player you're going to be when you get off steroids? What kind of player are you when you don't hear trash cans? And this is what everybody's saying about Altuve right now. Oh, he doesn't have his buzzer. He doesn't have his trash cans. He can't hit. Well, if he continues to do this, he's just adding fuel to the fire. George Springer is not having a good year, let alone a great year. And you know what? They're going to wait a minute. He's off the trash cans
John,
now.
Can I read you Brady Anderson's home run totals? Because that came up. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to start in 1992, his first year as a full-time starter.
Okay. He had a bunch, I would bet.
I'll just go through his career. 1988 to 2002, long career. 1-0-1-4-3-2-21. That's 1992. 13, 12, 16, 50, 18, 18.
Whoa, wait. You said, say that again. You said,
okay, let me start. Let me get started. 1992, okay?
Right.
Here we go. 21, that's a lot. 13, 12, 16, 50, 18,
15, 18. Did you say?
No, 50, it's 21, 13, 12, 16, 50, 18, yeah. 18.
Well, that makes sense.
24, 19, 8, 1.
That makes sense.
Well, the guy never hit more than 24
ever. What year did he hit 50?
That's 96. Now,
why did he get off the juice?
To be
then?
Fair, 96 was a juicy year also. Well, we never even talked about juice with him. We didn't even talk about steroids back then.
No, with Brady Anderson, we all did.
No, we talked about cork bat. It was a lot of cork bat talk because he wasn't this like, hey, everybody, it's me. We all remember back in the 90s, we thought you had to be rocked up. Like you had to be really a hulking
guy. The Bash
guy.
Brothers won it in 89.
Yeah, but I don't. They weren't using steroids in 89.
Oh, Mark McGwire and Jose Canseco.
Mark McGwire was not using steroids back then.
Oh,
he was a big dude. But go look at him. Go look at the difference between Mark McGwire when he's a Bash Brother. He was a home run hitter at USC. Also, that was not a steroid. Jose Canseco is the one who introduced Mark McGwire to steroids.
And they were together for. Let's see. When did Canseco get there?
Let me see.
So he got there in 86.
McGwire played at Oakland until 96. Now, his home runs, he had 49 his second year in the league, 87. He also struck out 131 times. He swung for the fences. 32, 33.
As soon as you're next to Jose Canseco, you're doing steroids immediately.
42. Then he was hurt a lot, which is also kind of a steroidy thing. Then he went 52. 58, 70, 65 with injury seasons rolled in. He had a lot of injury seasons.
I'm not so sure that in 89 they weren't doing steroids.
Because he was, that was considered.
They were the Bash Brothers then.
I mean, he had 33 homers and 587. You don't think he could hit 33 homers? Mark McGwire, 6 foot. I mean, that's like saying he was 6'5". Well, it's listed 215, but he was way bigger as a Cardinal. But 33 homers doesn't feel like that's a steroid number. Does this feel like it to you for 587 at-bats?
Yeah, it could have been. He was with Canseco the whole time.
Yeah, but I know, but he didn't. I don't think Canseco started using until a certain time.
Canseco led the league with 42 homers in 88.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm pretty sure Jose Canseco was using in 88.
But Mark McGwire was always known as a home run guy.
Yeah.
He's a home run guy in college.
Well, he came out with 49 his rookie year.
Home run guy in the Olympics. Yeah.
You don't know. He was with Canseco for his whole career. Right. You don't know if he didn't get that. Hey, come here.
But
try
why
this,
did
Mark.
He get the juice there, but then 32, 33, 39,
maybe he wasn't 20, hitting the ball then.
22.
Maybe he wasn't. You know, you actually have to hit it, too.
Well, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Why could he hit it his rookie year, but he couldn't hit
it
for 5 years?
Look at Canseco. Look, you can't say, though, 42, 17, 37, 44. You don't think in the 26 and 22 years he was using? Yeah, he was still using, although he didn't hit as many.
Let me see if Jose says it.
90. He had plenty of seasons with down years, home run years. He just didn't hit him. It just didn't hit as well.
While you guys are talking about baseball stuff, look at old LSU. You know, never does anything wrong, LSU.
No, perfect LSU.
Well,
you can just say perfect LSU.
The NCAA has just said that Will Wade either arranged or offered impermissible benefits to at least 11 potential recruits or others around them. So, this is the same Will Wade who we thought was going to get in trouble, and then he just, I'm not, you can't touch me, and he kept on coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the NCAA said, we're not done with you.
Hmm.
So, 11 potential major violations on deck for the LSU basketball program. I'm sure it's just a witch hunt. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm sure it's just a witch hunt. Just a witch hunt. That's all it is. Yep.
Yeah, so it looks like Canseco started using about 84, 85 after his mom died. So no telling when he introduced Mark McGwire.
Right.
Come on.
Absolutely.
No, there's no doubt about Mark McGwire.
Yeah, there's no doubt. 944 ESPN 97.5. I wish we had a testosterone spot here, but we have a Craig DeServe spot.
Oh, good, good, good.
Speaking now, of the bodybuilder.
Doesn't he lift a lot?
Yeah. He used to lift. Now he's got an injury on the hip. No, Craig DeServe is, he really did used to lift. He used to do some bodybuilding. That's not his move now. not a bodybuilder. He's a team builder, and he's built a hell of a team there in Angleton with Rick Drenner and the entire crew. I mean, I see the same people whenever I go out there for anything. We go over and see the people in service. It's the same group of people. Do you know their service department actually has one male? The rest are all female, and it's one of the best in the entire city. They always joke that the male is the token over there in the service department, but they do a phenomenal job. I've had my vehicle there. Two different, one with an uninsured driver hit me and one with a hit and run. I've had two different times I've gone out to the body shop and gotten work done. Wow. They do it quickly. They work everything out with the insurance company, and it was completely the easiest process I've ever dealt with. They also get you the vehicle. Of course, they'll work with you to get you, you know, taken care of through their collision center with they have an enterprise rental right there on location. I mean, it couldn't be easier from a collision standpoint for scheduled maintenance, or if you want to buy a brand new vehicle like a Chevy Silverado pickup truck. They have Buick, Silverados or Chevys, GMCs, they're all waiting for you. 133 vehicles in stock right now. They've added about 24 and replenished some of the stock they had. Check them out online. Just see what they have at LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah. Which coach said this in the scheme? Will Wade is constantly raising the price of pee around here.
Was it Dawkins who said that?
Dawkins? No, said that. he was talking to a coach. And the coach said that, or was it Dawkins that said that?
I don't remember. I'll look it up.
Yeah, whatever. He was on the phone with the coach, and I think it was it Calipari. No, or was it Sean? It was a Arizona coach.
Sean Miller.
Sean Miller. I think Sean Miller said that.
Never forget watching as a kid, seeing Sean Miller doing his dribbling exhibition stuff and spinning balls on these.
Sticks.
Almost pencils, yeah. The sticks, and he was like the wonder kid early on with ball handling stuff, and then he had that mustache, and that was horrible.
Hmm.
I was like, ah,
ruined it. Unless he was going into porn.
Nah, it was. It felt more like the other one.
I think it was Sean Miller that said that. Anyway, so Will Wade. See, we had this discussion over dinner a few nights ago. Oh, these players they need to get paid. Dude, they're getting paid. And it'll open up a big can of worms of players getting paid. Dude, they're getting paid now.
That's what feels disingenuous. To act like no one's getting paid. These people crying so poor.
Yeah.
The best players, a lot of them, have been getting paid for years and years. That's why you won't hear them talking about it.
Then let's attribute the quote.
AAU basketball players are like,
it was to Dawkins.
Staying out of this.
Dawkins, relaying something he was talking about. I told assistant head coach Book Richardson of Arizona, I said Will Wade is like driving up the price of pee because he's not even doing like real numbers. He was in a conversation with Miller, but he was talking about Will Wade driving up the price
of pee. Will Wade's driving up the price of pee around here. Yeah. And he was talking, he was talking to Sean Miller. I thought it was Sean Miller said it to him. No. Okay. Will Wade kept his job after all that. Now will he be able to? Where did this come out? This came out on ESPN.
Well, it's their fourth story down or so on the right side about the impermissible benefits. The NCAA said you at least 11 times you've done this, so he's in a bit of trouble.
Well, we call it a pickle.
He's in a pickle.
Yeah, he's in a pickle.
LSU's Wade, part of impermissible payments. Your boy Schlabach got it. Either arranged or offered impermissible payments to at least 11 potential recruits or others.
Mm.
He's got to go, right? I mean, after this, after the phone call that the FBI
he's got to go.
He's got to go.
Yeah, there's too much
heat. For whatever reason, dude kept his job after that documentary.
He's making it look stupid because people talking about athletes getting paid when the reality is a ton of athletes get paid way more than they would by the schools. You would force athletes into pay cuts. That's the reality.
Mm-hmm.
If you said, okay, we're going to let it pay, we're going to wipe out improprieties around college basketball and college football and college athletics by forcing people to prison if they break. This is going to be a white-collar crime, and players will lose their entire eligibility or whatever. They'll be forced into restitution for this. But we will pay athletes. You would have athletes say, nope, against at least AAU basketball players, because they make more money when you shut your mouth and let them get their money under the table. They make way more than if colleges were paying them. I mean, that's the reality. I know a quarterback who's at a new team who got an incredible amount. I couldn't believe the amount of money I heard for this guy. And I was like, wow, that's... And he's not the only one. I've heard numbers on three quarterbacks. One quarterback who went pro and two who are in college this year. And I'm like, man, that's why I get kind of, it's so disingenuous. Like, these athletes can't even eat a sandwich made out of butter. I'm like, man.
What's the percentage? How many athletes
the percentage of star players or players?
The players overall who you think are getting extras.
I would say probably... Extras, or is there a cutoff? Do you want a certain level
like pretty good? Like people would be freaking
higher
out.
Than what? Oh, I would say the numbers of total is probably in the neighborhood of 15%
per entire sports?
Per college. It's not huge. Now, the numbers of quarterbacks, probably higher than that. The number, it's not even that. It's if you are a five-star or a four-star and you're heavily recruited, there is, I would say, John, would you say it's a greater than 50% chance that there's going to be some illegal inducements as well?
Oh, absolutely.
Well? That's a conservative.
Four and five stars, illegal inducement offers of four and five stars, probably 95% of the time.
Do you think it's that high?
Oh, absolutely.
If the kids are about that life. Now, some kids and their families say,
but most athletes are not. I came at 15% because most athletes are not four and five stars.
Yeah, but I think, sure, universities and programs will get involved, but I won't. But I know of some stories where the kids are like, or the family's like, we're not playing this game. You're not buying my child. We will go to a place where we feel like it's generally a he, that's the best fit. So not every kid is looking for it, but yes, if it was 100% all the kids were looking for it, I think they could all get it if they wanted it.
Yeah.
Because the schools would be willing to do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's that. I was going to say 100%. 100% of the kids will get an illegal inducement from someone.
There's some who don't need
it. Because there's
some who don't need it and won't even ask for it.
No. Oh, well, they won't ask for it, but they'll say.
So you think Walker Little got something? Well, I shouldn't even put you in that position. But there's going to be guys it doesn't even come up with them.
Maybe.
And they wanted to play somewhere forever. Man, I get to be a Longhorn or an Aggie or a Georgia Bulldog.
Well, but
I think there's a lot more of those too.
They're catching a lot of
especially
all those coaches,
in-state.
even if he's going to Stanford or he's going to Texas or whatever, Georgia, Ole Miss is going to come in. Somebody's going to come in and say, "Dude, what you need to come over here? What you need? I mean, we got everything you need over here."
I'm not going to use the kid's name because it's all unverifiable. Because that's the whole point of doing it. But there was a kid who was debating going to Miami or Florida or Alabama. Those are his three schools in the running. He plays a premium position, and the talk was he was going to one of the two schools, and the other school was completely left out, not even the conversation. And then on a random Sunday, he commits to the school that was allegedly completely out of the conversation, and even like allegedly, even the people around the other two programs, like, damn, they went far beyond what we would do to get the kid, because he was apparently they're completely out of it. And on a Sunday afternoon, I'm going here, and everyone's like, why are you going there,
dude? I can't tell you how many coaches. Hey, how come we lost him? Coach, they paid better. Coach, they paid. Coach, hey, you.
Then why do you think we have this notion that the top players are getting paid?
They're getting paid.
Then why is there such a huge fight for college athletes to get paid?
And that, to me, that's what the problem is. Is the kids are the top kids are getting paid, and it's the kids like the punter that had a website who was doing well with his website that had to quit college football because he was actually had some initiative and had some talent with his website. And he, but because he's getting benefit, and they think it's because he's a football player, as opposed to how good he is at this website, he has to give up football. But all of these other kids are getting illegal inducements, or Johnny Manziel has to sit out a half against Rice because he's signing autographs. Why does the NCAA care if Johnny Manziel signs autographs? Sign autographs. Who gives a rat's ass? And you're getting paid that way. So what? So let him sign autographs and get paid. Don't think that Johnny didn't get illegal inducements.
I think the problem is it's harder to track that way. Then it becomes almost like a laundering situation. I think that's one of the reasons why, if you're getting it through, like, it shouldn't be so Dusty Stanfield, who's I've talked to Dusty about how he's a marketing rep. He talks about how card signings and things like that work. And I think if you did it above board, there is money to be made. You don't have to throw in the extras. Like, the whole thing is, if they could eliminate the extras completely and take care of college athletes, including a sliding scale based on your likeness, but you could also take care of other people with maybe a little bit more on the stipend side, because some of the stipends are better than people think, and some people aren't even aware of the stipends.
Yeah,
that
no, stipends
get.
Are okay.
If you could double up on stipends or get some kind of unanimity, and then you could have a sliding scale so that the top-rated guys really, you know, if their likeness really was valuable, and you could eliminate all the dirty stuff, that would be a dream come true for everybody. But because, you know, there's a lot of coaches who don't want to have to do that stuff either, don't want to have to be involved with that. That's tremendous stress. Your job many times is predicated on whether or not you can bring in players.
Well, here's the deal, though. Your job is also predicated on your not getting fired because you've given illegal endorsements. If you can give if you can legally get these kids some stuff, then you can actually do it above board, as opposed to all the crap that is going on behind the scenes, like Will Wade. And it's, we had this argument too. Coaches aren't part of it. Yeah, some coaches are part of it. They're actually moving the money. Yeah, they're actually.
Sean Miller in that documentary was talking about the conversation about the price of pee was about like Naz Reid and stuff, and Sean Miller was like, the dude's not even in our board. He probably just lied to LSU and said, I'm going to Arizona if you don't up my bag. It's pretty much what Sean Miller said.
Yeah, right. Hey, Dell, before we take a break, I want to talk about Caliber Roofing, okay? Because here's the deal, is we got Laura coming in, and all of you out in Beaumont, in Winnie, in Port Arthur, in all places east that is going to catch this, and you're going to catch winds up to 130 miles an hour. You're going to need your house tarped. You're going to need trees removed. You're going to need your roofs repaired. You're going to have to deal with insurance companies. And Caliber Roofing is here for you. Listen, these guys are heading there now. They can help you right now. They can help you fix your roof before it comes. Because if your roof is damaged right now, and the storm comes, guess what's going to happen? Your whole house is going to flood. You don't need this heat. What you need is Caliber Roofing. The guys are great. You're going to get Brandon, or you're going to get Easton. You're going to get these guys coming to your home and using Owens Corning roofing shingles. You're going to get these guys that are going to be affordable. These guys will give you a free evaluation of what's going on with your roof, and they'll be in a hurry fixing it, maybe today. If you need this job done, call right now, 713-823-9355, 713-823-9355, or 975roof.com. Put this number in your phone because you might need it tomorrow or the next day and you might not have electricity. Put it in your phone now, 713-823-9355. It's Caliber Roofing.
ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.